My daughter Lily's with me in Chicago this week, and we're visiting our family friends, the Pavans. And we realized none of us had ever been to this great Chicago institution. Al's Beef.
Oh, Al's Beef. Man, I watched that episode and I'm thinking to myself, I need a beef sandwich. You gotta dip it. Phil Rosenthal was the creator and executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond. Behind the camera. Well, you can see Phil in front of the camera in his series, Somebody Feed Phil, which is available now on Netflix. It is Phil Rosenthal. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
A pleasure. I love Chicago. I love that episode. I love everything I ate. I love the people, the architecture. I can't wait to come back.
You know what I loved about that episode? And it wasn't about food. Do you remember?
I'm going to say the architecture.
The church.
Oh, yeah.
The church segment at the end. You went to a gospel church and you went to a service. A Jewish man sitting in a gospel church.
Yes. Yes, I think everyone should do it once in their life, at least, because there's power, and there's beauty, and there's grace, and there's love, and there's excitement, and there's emotion. I got it. I understood the appeal.
Well, tell me about that, Phil, because you got choked up in that episode at the end of the episode.
I sure did.
When you were in that church.
I sure did.
Why did you get choked up?
Well, when I was a real little kid, my parents took me to the movies. And it was a movie with Sidney Poitier. It was called Lilies of the Field, where Sidney Poitier helps these old white nuns.
Oh, I know all about it, buddy. Oh, absolutely.
You know it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was 6 years old when I saw that movie. They sing Amen.
Yep.
You know the song, the hymn Amen.
Of course.
Amen.
I sang it a million times as a kid.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Okay. So I'd go around the house singing that. And when I was a little kid, I loved it. Very easy, and it stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the odds that they would sing that exact hymn at this church when I was there? And because everyone had been so sweet to me and so welcoming and loving, when they sang that, here's a song I can join in.
Right,
this old Jewish man can join in, and I just felt part of it and connected, and it was so beautiful the way these things connect us. So that's it.
I absolutely loved it. Of course, I loved the Chicago episode. When you went to Al's Beef, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, the guy that the owner with the beard, the gray hair, he showed you the beef stance where you have to lean over so you don't.
You lean over, a little bend in the knees, the elbows on a counter, and it's all to avoid getting this stuff all over you, right? Because it's a wet sandwich.
Right. Of course it's a wet sandwich. You got to dip
it. And then I see him. It's in the first minute of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You see this man. It might be the biggest bite of food I've ever seen in my life. And I've been eating food a long time.
Uh-huh.
I make a living at it.
Yes, this
but
is
I've
what
never
you do.
Seen a bite like this.
That's a Chicago bite right there. He stuffed half the beef sandwich in his mouth.
It was awesome.
How did you start doing these shows? I mean, you're an executive producer. Everybody Loves Raymond. Very successful. You could ride into the sunset, and then all of a sudden you show up with the food show.
It actually started on Raymond. We did an episode where we went to Italy, and Ray Romano had never been before. In fact, I asked him what he was going to do on his vacation one year. And he said, oh, I go to the Jersey Shore. And I said, that's nice. Have you ever been to Europe? And he said, no. I said, why not? He said, I'm not really interested in other cultures, he said.
Oh, wow.
Even his own culture, Italian. So I thought, we got to do that episode.
Where
really? We bring him over there with that attitude of not being interested and bring him back after he's been transformed by the magic of travel and Italy especially.
Right.
With my attitude, someone very excited. And I write this episode,
uh-huh.
And the arc of the character, where he gets woke, I saw happen to Ray the person. He got it.
Yeah.
And it changed his life. And right then and there, that was 20 years ago, I said, I want to do this for other people. And so that stayed with me for all that time. And after Raymond, I did try to do other sitcoms and stuff,
mm-hmm.
But the business had changed drastically.
Yeah.
And it just, I didn't want to do these types of shows that they were pitching to me, and they didn't want to do the types of shows that I was pitching to them. So then I thought, well, what about this travel thing. And I worked at it for 10 years until I got this.
You're kidding. It took you 10 years to get this thing on the air?
Yes, because they, because my agents, you know, they want you to do another sitcom. They want the money.
Oh, yeah, of course. There's
a, you know, it's like I walked in their office and defouled their desk when I suggested, you know what, I think I'll do a food and travel show now. Yeah, there's no money in that. But I'm living the life. And it's a wonderful thing. And, of course, we can't travel right now. But I want to tell everybody that this plague will end. We've got a lot of plagues to clean up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we will get through it. And I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic because we always have gotten through it.
Right.
And there's always been a vaccine. And there's always been solutions to our social problems. And you know, I see this as a turning point in many ways. And so I'm optimistic for the future, and then we're going to travel again. So I want you to watch my little Somebody Feed Phil show with the knowledge that you will travel again, so take this time to plan your trip.
Right. You,
you got time now.
We were just talking about that, Phil, and plane prices right now to fly, prices are very, very reasonable. And before we move on from Chicago, I do want to mention we have a mutual friend, John Harris, who works over at ConAgra. Everybody in the city, John is like the unofficial mayor of Chicago. He knows everybody. How does Phil Rosenthal, this Hollywood executive producer, meet John Harris from Chicago?
We have a mutual friend, Al Roker.
Oh, geez. That's right.
And that's how we met.
That is absolutely right.
Years ago. I knew that. And we go to dinner all the time. And John was in my New York episode
Al. You're right.
And when I came to Chicago, I said, I got to call John.
Right. Yeah. You were at Cindy's on Michigan Avenue. And if people haven't been to Cindy's, what is that, on the 15th, 20th floor overlooking
Millennium Park? Yeah, it's up at the top of the old Chicago Athletic Association, which is now a great hotel, and there's this beautiful bar and terrace overlooking Grant Park and the city, and it's spectacular.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. So I recommend that, and the food is great.
Yeah, you had the Chicago dog, right?
I had that down in the game room, which is a great thing also.
I've been there. It's so much fun. Phil, I'm going to have you hold on a second. We're going to take a quick break. And I want to talk about the episodes of Somebody Feed Phil, because it's different from other shows. And I'm going to tell people how it's different coming up next. Okay.
Thanks.
Phil Rosenthal, Somebody Feed Phil, available now on Netflix. It's 720 WGN. It is Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios on the phone with us. Phil Rosenthal, you can see his series, Somebody Feed Phil, which is available now on Netflix. Phil, you with me? There you are. Are you walking? What are you doing right now?
I am walking. Does it sound bad?
Well, it sounds like you were in a cave for a second. Are you exercising right now? What's going on?
I do a lot of my phone calls and interviews. I do them when I walk, so I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm going to sit for you now, though, so you can hear me loud and clear without the wind. And I don't want any trouble.
I like that. I wanted to explain why your show is different from other shows, and maybe it's because I've been watching it during the social unrest that's going on right now in the United States. You have a Jewish kid, a Jewish guy from Queens, New York, and you're sitting down with the chef in Marrakesh, or you're sitting at a gospel church in Chicago, and you're having a conversation about their culture. That's what I loved about it.
Well, thanks. Obviously, this was done way before this trouble that we're seeing right now, and I don't do it for any other reason other than I love diversity. It makes life interesting.
Yes.
And I love learning about other cultures. And I didn't know it would ever be taken as a political statement, the embracing of other cultures and other people. But for some reason, in the times we're living in, you know, I could be labeled, oh, we know what he is. We know he's one of these Hollywood types, because there he is, hugging people from different countries, right? And all I'm trying to be is a human being.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. And I love it. The Marrakesh, The Marrakesh episode, which is this season, it's the first episode this season. When you're walking in the, was it a spice market? What was that with the chef?
Yes.
There is, and it's, I want you to explain to people this spice market, because I'm looking at it thinking to myself, oh my God, who knew, number one, there was such a thing, and who knew, number two, there was so many different types of spices?
Well, I mean, this is what makes the world go round, right? I mean, if, let's say you have a cuisine or a population that doesn't have a lot of money, the way to make inexpensive food interesting is through sauces and spices.
Right.
And so the spice trade has always been this incredible luxury for everyone on earth. It makes food not only delicious, but something that might only be the only bright spot in somebody's day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why food is so great, and why I call it the great connector. Because no matter where you're from, you got to eat. We all got to eat, and we come together at mealtime. It's where we socialize. It's where we meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if food is the great connector, laughs are the cement.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a great line. If food are the great connector, laughs are the great cement. I love that.
Yeah.
Was your mom a good cook?
No. No,
really?
I used to say in our house, meat was a punishment. No, terrible. But she, you know, I don't blame her. She was wonderful in every other way, and she worked, you know, full time. My dad worked, so there was no time, and we didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah,
and so we didn't get a lot of delicious food in our house. And when I graduated from that house into the world, it was like when in The Wizard of Oz, she opens the door and now the movie's in color. That's what it was like to have flavor. To have flavor. And when I got to Europe in my early 20s, it's like the top of my head came off, because I couldn't believe how great the food was. And now, of course, there's great food everywhere on earth.
Right.
Because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The internet connects us in another way. It's the information that's available. A chef or a kid in Iowa can see what a great chef in Paris is doing and learn right on the internet. So this is leveled the playing field, and you can get a great meal, I think, almost anywhere. Now, Chicago happens to be a world city, so a lot of the world is represented there,
right,
meaning it has great diversity, people from all over the world, and they come with their food. And it's one of the great places to eat in the whole world, I think.
Right. I agree 100%. We're a world-class city. What's your favorite city or country that you've been to in Somebody Feed Phil? What sticks out right away when I say that?
Italy. Italy, in my life, I have to say, is the one. Maybe I was Italian in another life. Do you ever go somewhere and just feel at home?
Absolutely.
Like, oh, I could live here. So there's a few elements there. One is everywhere you look is beautiful, right? In Italy, and then the food is, of course, delicious, and everyone's hugging and kissing you. So what's not to like?
Oh.
So I just feel comfortable there, and I love it.
There's something about fresh food, especially in Italy. I mean, it's not filling in the freshness with the pasta. And Curtis, my producer is a foodie. What's your question for Phil? You wanted to ask him about Italy?
Yeah, well, Italy and all these other cultures, you know, when you think that you go there, there's always rooms that you have to have the food when you're actually there, like Italian food. You have to have it in Italy because it's just that much better than the grandma's recipes.
Yes, you go to the source.
Yeah.
Guess where they have really good Chinese food? Guess where?
Go to China. Yes.
Yeah. That's it. You like Mexican food? Guess where it's really good.
That's where you go, Curtis. If you like Italian food, go to Italy.
There you
You'll
go.
Fall in love with it.
I'm no genius, but I think that's the answer.
And one of the things, Phil, that you do on the show, Somebody Feed Phil, my 14-year-old son does, when he's happy and is eating, he puts his arms in the air. When you like something on this show, you put your arms up like you just won the championship.
Yes, because I am not an athlete, and I just won at this sport.
Oh, that is so funny. I loved it, man. I do.
Thank you.
I think it's fantastic. And
I'm so glad you do. I'm so happy. You know, it's my way of connecting to the rest of the world is this little show. And I get beautiful DMs from everywhere. And I just it thrills me to no end when people go on the little trips, you know, that I show on the show that they followed my itinerary. By the way, there's a website, philrosenthalworld.com, where every single place we go on the show is there for you with links to the place so you can reserve and you can find out about each and every restaurant and everything we eat.
Oh, is that great? So if people are taking a trip, say, to Italy or London where you're making bread or Seoul, you'll have those restaurants. I love that.
You'll have even the gelato places, everything.
Wow. Are you even making any money on this or is this just fun for you?
No. but I'm not complaining. You're talking to the luckiest guy you'll ever talk to.
Yeah,
I've been very blessed, and I just want to make your life better now by paying it forward by showing you that the best thing you can do with your hard-earned money after paying your rent and schooling your kids is travel.
Yeah.
Travel. That's the answer.
See the world. See different cultures. See how different cultures live.
Well, it's priceless. It's priceless. You come back with a new perspective on life.
Mm-hmm.
New attitude.
Do you cook at home? Are you a cook?
I'm terrible. I'm terrible. But people say, what do you mean you can't cook? You have the Food and Travel show, you can't cook? I say, yeah, I meet a lot of great chefs around the world. They can't write a sitcom.
Right. But you would think...
We all contribute in our way.
Well, you would think that you would try it at home, at least, you know.
Now with the quarantine, right, of course I'm cooking more.
Yeah.
But I'm not I wouldn't call myself a chef by any means.
No.
I met some of the greatest chefs on earth, and I'm happy to give them my money to let them do what they do.
Right. Definitely so. Is there one place on the planet that you haven't been to yet that you want to go to?
India.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Can't wait to go there.
And
I love the people. I love the food. I love the culture. I just haven't been there yet.
When do you start filming again?
It's up to Netflix.
Oh.
I will tell you that these are five shows that are on now. That's season three, and season four is coming. We shot it already, and they split it up into five now and five later. It'll probably be in the fall or winter.
Man, for a guy that was the executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond, where you had to wait week after week after week for different shows. How much do you love Netflix, where you can watch them all at once, and then you can tell 100 people how great they are?
I love that when you deliver the show to Netflix, they push a button and you're on in 190 countries simultaneously.
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite
thing.
Of course
it is. And that then really is making a connection to the world. So that's the appeal of Netflix, and that it'll always be there. The shows will always be on that shelf.
Right.
So you can watch them whenever you want. I actually, you know, because I'm older, I'm not a real binge watcher. And I always think, you know, we spend months on every episode. We spend so much time on deliberating on every line and every shot and every dish that you see and everything in the show. And then if you binge it and watch it all at once, it's like cramming for a test. How much are you really going to remember?
Well, that's why what's great about Netflix, you can always go back and watch it again over and over
and
over.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. People tell me they do that, and that's very flattering, very nice. I'm so happy to be there with them. I feel like, you start to feel like family.
Right. Phil Rosenthal, the new season is out on Netflix. Somebody Feed Phil. Episode 2 is all about Chicago, and you can see him on Maxwell Street with the bone-in pork chop. A Chicago dog, the beef sandwich, the beef stance, and more. Phil, really a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. As soon as this is over, come see you in Chicago.
I would absolutely love that, to have dinner with you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
We'll get John Harris.
Yes. I'm texting John during commercials right now. Have a great day.
Great. You too, my friend. Take care.
Somebody Feed Phil. Check it out now on Netflix.